What's up? Thank you for tuning in to Be The Vibe Radio with your hostess, me, Chrysalis Sun. I don't know if you guys can tell, but I'm in a super great mood. Today it is April 22nd, 2020. It is a new moon. We are in Taurus season, which is all about Venus and Venus things and love and money and resources and wealth and abundance and pleasure and the senses, and and on top of that, I spent a weekend at a retreat with my with my nutritionist. So I went ahead and got a health coach, a nutritionist, to coach me to get some things on track with my wellness. And I spent the weekend with her, and I came back from that feeling like a brand new person. So I know you guys can tell I'm happy. I can tell that I'm happy. And I am super excited about tonight's episode. So here's the thing. So I realized that I have a book about crystals, The Complete Guide to Crystal Medicine, that I published earlier this year. No, last year. I dropped it February of 2019. My platform is crystal medicine. That is actually my designated expertise, and I have not done any episodes about crystals. So when I realized that, I'm like, okay, yeah, girl, you're tripping. What are you doing? How is it that you have this platform and you're not talking about your field, right? So I am correcting that with this episode. It actually will be the first of several episodes in regards to crystals, because crystals is such a vast topic. There's so much you could talk about when it comes to crystals. There's no limit of material to cover when it comes to crystals. So yeah, that's what tonight's episode is about. Let's talk crystals. So I'd actually like to start off this episode talking or sharing my personal journey with crystals. So I have technically been in my field for 23 years. My journey started when I was 13. So I was and I still am very curious and scientific in my approach to life. So as a kid, like, I was a huge nerd. I still am a huge nerd. And I recall being in seventh grade, and we were going through a period of science where we were learning about geology and earth science, and specifically rocks. And so we're learning all, you know, the super nerdy shit, like, you know, sedimentary rocks and igneous rocks. And I don't know if anybody remembers anything from junior high and high school science, but yes, like all that stuff. And I just recall being extremely, extremely intrigued by stones at that time from a scientific aspect. So at the time, you know, my mother was going to Riverside Community College, and she would take me with her, and she would just drop me off at the college library while she went to class. And I actually laugh about that because, you know, I'm realizing my mother very much knew her child. I'm an avid reader. So she knew that she could literally drop me off at this college library with the little library card for 2-3 hours unsupervised at 13 years old, and I would be perfectly fine. And perfectly fine I was. I would go and I would look, you know, for you know, the catalog. This is back before computer, you know, they had computer catalogs, so you would go and pull out the little file, and it would tell you, like, where. I don't know if anybody's old, you know, who was old enough to remember libraries pre-computers, but there would be these files, and whatever, based off of topic. And then if you were looking for a particular book, you could pull out the little card, and it'll tell you, like, where, like, what row and aisle it was in the catalog number in the bookshelf, right? So I would go, and I was pulling all these books about stones. And so that's where it started. So I was on that for at least a couple years. And then when I hit about maybe 15, 16, you know, I got into Wicca. I got started getting into, like, you know, witchcraft and studying that and whatnot. And that is actually where it transitioned from me learning and being interested in the scientific aspects of crystals into the metaphysical and spiritual aspect of crystals. And at the time, you know, I grew up in Redlands, California, which, you know, for those who are familiar with California, Southern California, it's this little township that is in San Bernardino County. It's literally between, you know, Orange County and Palm Springs. So it's like 30, 40 minutes outside of Barstow, 3 hours from, you know, Vegas, an hour outside of LA, an hour outside of San Diego. So it's this really, really, really small town. And there really wasn't much when it came to, like, metaphysical stuff. Like, I wasn't really, there wasn't really a lot of metaphysical shops. But I do recall that there was this one little store and they sold crystals. And so I started going in there and being drawn. It was my first time being exposed to a crystal shop. I don't even think they sold anything else metaphysical besides the crystals. But I would go in there, and I was at the time drawn to red crystals. So it was garnet, carnelian, rubies, because raw rubies that aren't cut are actually extremely accessible and affordable, and you can get them at any crystal shop. But my thing was red crystals, so I was all about the red crystals. I was also obsessed with the Apache tears, the obsidian that's cut like arrowheads, and shark's teeth. So that was like my thing at from 13 to 15, and then like 15 up until like I graduated high school. So by the time crystals started to really become a big thing, which honestly I didn't really see them become a thing until really within the last like 8 to 10 years, where it was just like this big blow up of crystals being like a mainstream thing. So by the time that started happening, and let me light this incense. That's what you hear in the background. My incense went out. Okay. So by the time it became a thing, like, I had already studied a lot in regards to the scientific and then the metaphysical aspects of crystals. So fast forward, by the time crystals became a thing, like a big mainstream thing, I could already tell you the chemical compositions of crystals, like common crystals. I can already tell you the difference between a crystal and a stone, because there is a difference. And I may talk about that in this episode, or I may dedicate another episode to it. I was already very much experienced in field identification. And when I say field identification, I mean being able to look at a crystal in a crystal shop or wherever and tell you what type of crystal it is, or identify a stone or crystal out of nature. You know, if I were to find something and whatnot. I was already very much experienced and skilled with identifying the metaphysical as well as the physical principles and benefits of crystals. I was very much in a space of being able to grid crystal grids, which is really my absolute favorite thing is crystal gridding, which there's a science to that too, which may not ever be a podcast. That may be like a class I do, maybe. I got a lot of secrets when it comes to gridding. Effectively putting together crystal grids, you know, so, and those, you know, I could incorporate crystals in energy healing. Now, this became a thing later, within the last maybe about 5 years. And let me tell you how that came about. That came about because before I moved to Atlanta, I left Vegas and I stayed with my mother for about 6 to 8 months, to save money to relocate. And my mother, very, you know, as she's always uber supportive of all my weirdness and black sheep tendencies, but she noticed something. She noticed that I have an ability to read people energetically and determine or prescribe specific crystals that are good for them. And I noticed a little bit too, but it didn't really register until my mother pointed it out. Because I would, you know, gift people crystals or, you know, buy them as gifts or whatnot. And whatever that crystal that just intuitively came to me when it came, you know, regards to the person, once I told them what the crystal was good for, they were like, oh my God, you know, it's exactly what I needed. So my mother was the one that was able to pinpoint that. So, you know, in addition to all the other things I'm able to do, the main thing is that I can specifically prescribe crystals for a person's individual energetic field or need. So then when I became certified in Reiki, as a Reiki master, I started incorporating crystals in with energy medicine and energy healing. So that's really my background with crystals. And, you know, it's not often that I say that I'm an expert in many things, but crystals, definitely, I know crystals. if there's any two things I know, it's how to divine, to perform divination, and how to work with crystals. You know, definitely hands down my two biggest things. So, of course, as with anything that becomes mainstream, all of a sudden, everybody becomes an expert in it, right? So I've started noticing, you know, a lot of people talking about crystals and, you know, passing out, disseminating information, distributing information about crystals. And the people just didn't really know what they were talking about, just straight up. You know, I would see things on Facebook or social media or on people's websites, and I would just be like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, that is not true. That is not the case. And as a matter of fact, if people were to really follow that advice, they would be real messed up, you know? So there would be a lot of people just talking about crystals and not really putting out correct information. So as a result, you know, there are a lot of myths about crystals that have been just circulating. And I'm going to list just a few. So, I mean, one of them is that, you know, there's this thing that crystals are new age, right? You specifically see this from people who are practitioners in African traditional religions. A lot, or, you know, people who are like old school hoodoo conjure practitioners. And there's kind of like this side eye or this turning of the nose of people who use crystals because they're like, oh, this is new age and blah, blah, blah. But that's not the case. As a matter of fact, in my book, I dedicate an entire chapter to talking about the history of crystal, you know, crystals and crystal medicine and how it's an indigenous practice. This has been used for thousands of years, like, and there is multiple references in regards to this and proof to this from all cultures, specifically coming out of the African continent. So, you know, it is, I had to stop myself because, you know, y'all, I be talking a lot of shit and sometimes I be having to catch myself. So I'm bringing it back, Chrysalis, before I go on a rant. But yes, that is one of the myths, is that, you know, crystals are new age. It's not. Here's what's happened. Crystals, and I'm going to talk about this later, crystals have their own consciousness. And crystals have been around as long as the earth has been around because they're a part of the earth. And so crystals come programmed with their own knowledge and their own information. There has been a period of time where the crystals have withdrawn, the energy has been withdrawn from crystals as far as activating information. So basically what's happened is that there was this period of, you know, time where people knew and they worked with crystals. Then things happened, and I won't go into it. If you want to know, just read my book. Things happened, and, you know, crystals, the knowledge was forgotten, and it was withdrawn from the earth. And then all of a sudden, in the 1980s, there was this emergence of people receiving these downloads and these remembrances about crystals, because the crystals, the energy, they were ready to bring that information back, because, you know, these energies knew what was about to be happening in the next 20, 30, 40 years, and they wanted to prepare people and give people information. So no, crystals are not new age, all right? The next thing, the next myth that really gets me is that crystals are a white people thing. They're not a white people thing by any means. As a matter of fact, it is most, you know, it is crystals, the use of crystals is an indigenous practice from people of color, right? And anything that, well, I won't say that. Most of what these, okay, let me backtrack. Again, I'm trying to be, you know, I'm not always PC in my episodes, but this one I'm trying to be tame, you know. So most of the faces that you see as of crystal experts are white people. However, their information that they've received in their studies and a lot of their findings have come from resources that are of, you know, indigenous or people of color, you know, background. But for whatever reasons, and, you know, I won't get into why, because we all know why, you know, it's the face of crystals and the use of crystals and crystal experts are white folks. But it is not a white people thing, okay? The other myth about crystals is that it's a cure-all. Now, you know, some people, you know, they'll hit me up and they'll be like, oh, you know, I need a crystal, like, I need to protect myself. What kind of crystal can I use? I need to sleep better. What kind of crystal can I use? And I'm just like, okay, yes, you can use crystals and they help. However, you know, it's a holistic practice, like everything. Y'all know I approach everything from a holistic mindset. Yes, I can give you a crystal. I can tell you to use black tourmaline. I can tell you to use obsidian or onyx. But if you were not exercising your boundaries, if you're not utilizing energetic hygiene, if you're not clearing out your home energetically, if you're just letting anybody and any energy in and out of your space, that black tourmaline, that onyx, that obsidian, it's not going to do anything. Yeah, I can tell you to use amethyst so you can sleep better, but if you're leaving your TV on before you go to bed or while you're asleep, if you're consuming coffee before you go to bed, you know, if you've got spirits running around in your house, in your room when you sleep, messing with you, then that amethyst is not likely going to do much but help you remember your dreams when you wake up. But it's not going to really help you sleep or provide you with a restful sleep. So my point is that, no, crystals are not a cure-all. You know, they're a tool, a lot of times to be used with other things, but a lot, you know, 9 times out of 10, they're not the only thing that you need to fix whatever it is that you're trying to fix, okay? And then that segues into my next myth, is that crystals are the only thing you need. No, they're not. For the reasons that I previously stated. The biggest myth, for me that I see, is that every crystal is for everyone. No, the fuck they are not. Crystals are their own vibration. They're their own, like I said, they're sentient beings. Crystals have a consciousness, right? So if you were to attribute your crystal to a person or a personality, we all know that we don't get along with everybody that we meet. We don't vibe with everybody that we meet. Working with crystals is no difference with that. Okay. For example, everybody uses, and I love using rose quartz as an example, because rose quartz is one of like the most popular crystals out there. Even when I get them in stock, I can never keep them because my rose quartz is always the first thing to get bought out when I have it in stock. Everyone loves rose quartz, right? Rose quartz is for love. It's for heart work, heart chakra, love life, fertility, all of that. I cannot work with rose quartz. It is too watery for me. I can't use rose quartz for my own personal work. I can only use rose quartz. I've only been successfully able to use rose quartz for money magic, for money rituals, and for money grids. But as far as like wearing rose quartz and having it on me, it throws me off. The reason why is because rose quartz is a water element crystal. And it's too emotional and watery for me. And for one, as a Leo that doesn't have any water in their natal chart, that is just too much. That's like throwing a bucket of water on a baby cactus. Like, that's so funny I use that analogy. But really, though, you're going to kill the cactus. Like, it's too much water. It's not going to make it. You know, I can't do watery stones like that. The other issue is that, well, you know, the natal chart thing in my water, but it's just the emotional aspect of things. I'm not really an outwardly emotional person, you know. So if I'm going to do some work on my heart chakra, or, you know, I'm going to want to do some work where I'm addressing my emotions, I'm going to have to use a stone that is, that does support the heart chakra, but from more of a grounded place. Okay. So I'm going to use rhodonite. I'm going to use malachite. You know, I'm going to use, unikite for that. So, you know, same thing with amethyst. You know, people use amethyst and say it's for everybody, for your third eye and your intuition. But I don't ever recommend that an air sign use an amethyst, especially if it's a Gemini or Aquarius, because they're the most airy of all the air signs, you know. And so a lot of times, especially Geminis, amethyst throw them off. It makes them more, it's almost like giving them caffeine, or, you know, a triple shot of espresso. It's just, it doesn't settle them. So this is where you have to really, if you're going to be serious about using crystals, you got to really, really do more research, more than the surface. I mean, you have to dig deeper than the surface, and understand that every crystal is not for everybody. And this also segues into my last myth that I see, is that crystals are a blanket fix. So the what I mean by this is that I've seen charts where, and I actually did I reposted one of these charts like a year or so ago, and I just completely like tore it apart because I was so annoyed. But basically it was like a list of crystals and what they were good for. You know, this crystal is good for this. This crystal is good for this. This crystal is good for this. Now, mind you, some of those crystals were inaccurately labeled. So some of them were showing as good for a certain thing where they weren't. That was one issue I had. But the thing about it was that it was as though it was a blanket fix. Like, if you are, if you need to activate your intuition, clear quartz. And it's a lot of those times these popular crystals are presented as though they are the only crystal that's good for that, which is not the case at all. So it, when you give into that type of myth, you end up limiting yourself and keeping yourself from discovering a whole bunch of other things that could be useful in terms of crystals to you. It also keeps you from identifying your individual crystals that you are drawn to. So what can crystals be used for? They can be used for healing, both spiritual, physical, and emotional healing. They definitely can be used for protection. They can be used for changing your environment. So, you know, like placing them in your home and shifting the energy a lot of times, or placing them before we were quarantined and sent home, I noticed that a lot of my coworkers would have crystals on their desk. You know, I had crystals on my own desk, and mainly was to get rid of or shield myself from any type of radioactive or electro pollutants from my computer. But, you know, I've seen crystals and change your environment in many ways. They can be used for telepathic communication. Now, this is interesting, and this is something I've actually experimented with successfully. There are a couple of crystals that are specifically set up to assist with communicating with celestial beings, like angels, aliens, and things out in the higher realms. And there's also specific crystals that can be used for communication between two humans, two individuals. And I've actually been able to do both. And maybe one day I will talk about that in another podcast, like what crystals that are good for that. Crystals can be used for ritual. Like I've mentioned, I've done that myself. Ritual, spell work, altar work, gritting, all, those fall in the same category. Crystals are also good for amplification and enhancement. So, they can amplify energies, making, turn basically turn up the fire, turn up the heat. Or they can enhance energies. So I know that, for example, when I use crystals for my energy work with clients, if I'm wanting to enhance or activate certain chakras, I'll use, certain crystals for that. Or if I'm wanting to turn up certain emotions or just kind of getting certain frequencies going to help facilitate the healing process, I'll use certain crystals for that. I've used crystals in mojo bags, in to make my conjure oils. I've used them to activate my spiritual washes that I've made. I've used crystals to house spirits. There's like no limit, absolutely no limit to what you can do with crystals. And what I offer is just a few examples, but if you're working intuitively and you're also like educating yourself, if you combine that, the logistical or the intellectualized aspect of crystals, and then you also have your intuitive nature, if you combine those, you can get super creative with the use of your crystals. So what are some crystal basics? So I want to end this episode with just kind of providing you all with some beginners tips or just some basic procedures or just kind of things you want to keep in mind with working with crystals. And these are best practices that I've just come to realize over the course of my career and my field, things that really, really assist you with getting the most out of your crystal work, okay? The first thing, the very first thing I learned is that you want to handpick your crystals as much as you can. By handpick, I mean physically go in and look at your crystals and choose them that way. If whether it's at a crystal shop or a metaphysical shop, or if it is at a festival, a vendor, whatever the case may be, you want to put your hands on the crystals. You want to feel them. The reason why this is important is because, like I said, crystals are a vibration. They're their own beings. They have their own consciousness. And there's a certain level of attraction or repelling that happens with crystals. So if you're not physically making that connection, you're not really going to be able to pick or choose or intuitively connect with the crystal that is best for you. Now, another reason why this is important, and this is actually something I mentioned in my book, is that sometimes what's advertised online is not what you get. So, for example, I had an experience. This experience is actually what made me realize it. I had an experience where I was wanting to work with, I was obsessed with jade. I was obsessed with jade. I wanted all kinds of jade. Jade is very difficult to come by here in the United States because it's not really native to, it doesn't grow naturally here. You find it in parts of Asia and parts of Africa, specifically Asia. So if you go to like China, then you can get jade for cheap, because it's grown and mined there. But here, it's really expensive, especially because, and this is the nerd part of me telling you this, but jade has a very, very intricate and complicated chemical composition that makes it not form. It doesn't form like rare. It's not a rare crystal, but it doesn't come by easy. It's not super abundant either. So anyways, I was like, okay, I'm about to get on eBay. Let me order this jade. I specifically wanted red jade because I was working on some things with my sacral and my root chakra. I ordered this jade. I get it. It came from China, so it took forever to get. And then when I get it and I open it up, I realize that it's not jade, but in fact high-grade carnelian. Now, mind you, Carnelian is abundant. It's a form of agate. So, it's a chalcedony. It's in that family. So it is, pretty common. However, high grade carnelian is difficult to come by. It has a, slightly different, better, situation to it. So, I was happy that it was at least high grade carnelian. However, I was upset that it wasn't jade because carnelian and jade have completely two different chemical compositions. I mean, they have two different benefits, So I'm specifically wanting to work with, at the time I was wanting to work with balancing my sacral with my root chakra. Carnelian is specifically sacral work. So, and I already had a bunch of carnelian because I went through that phase of being obsessed with red stones. So the carnelian was of absolute no use to me, So that was when I learned that it's better for me to actually physically go in and pick the stones because, what it is, people will either knowingly sell something that is not, what it is for a higher price. They will knowingly kind of pull, the bait and switch just to get your money. And then some people truly don't know because they can't really tell the difference. I've learned this going into metaphysical shops sometimes. I'm actually going to talk about this a little bit later down the list, but where some things will be labeled as one thing and then they're not. But all that being said, you want to be able to physically look at your crystals and pick them, one, to make sure they are what they are, what they're advertised as, but two, to get a feel for if that crystal is even for you. Now, this next tip segues from that. You want to always cleanse your crystals when you first get them. The reason why is because people are touching them. They absorb energy, and by the time they get to you and they get to your home, they're gonna have a whole lot of energy from where they've been transported to, and just everybody who's touched it. So you just want to make sure you just kind of get a fresh, energy into the crystal. It's like going to the grocery store, bringing home your vegetables. You're gonna wash them before you eat them. It's the same concept. The other reason why is because some people, some people who are extremely good at energy work can program your crystal for you without you knowing with their own intention, which could bind you. It could influence you. So and I've seen this happen. That's the reason why I'm bringing it up. So you want to make sure that your crystal has only your intention in it, so it's doing the work that you purchased it for. Now this third tip is something that literally makes me cringe, and it's this: don't wear too many different crystals at once. I see people who have, they'll have like a crystal crown and a crystal bracelets and crystal rings and crystal necklaces and crystal anklets and crystal medallions and wire wrapped everything, and it's like 50,000 different crystals. And anytime I look at people like that, I can feel the energetic, frizz. It's like a fritz. Like, it's almost like a, I don't even know how to describe it. It's a very, I won't say chaotic, but it's almost like a, well, yeah, it's chaotic, First of all, the reason why you don't want to wear too many crystals at once, because not all crystals get along with each other. And I talk about that. I have a whole chapter dedicated to not, not all crystals play well together. Okay. You have specific crystals that really only do well by themselves. That's the first thing. The second thing is that each crystal has its own vibration and its own, enhancement, its own activations. And if you've got 20 different crystals activating 20 different things on you, that's too much going on energetically. Way too much going on. It's gonna create a lot of imbalances and that are not conducive to your healing or whatever you're trying to, I mean, it defeats the purpose of the crystals at all, to begin with. So whenever people ask me about crystals and combining them and wearing them, I just say simple is better. If you have multiple things that you're trying to address with the crystals, find one crystal or two crystals that cover most of them. They're out there. There's several crystals that are like cure all, not cure alls, but they heal multiple things, or they address multiple things. Most of those are white crystals, actually white colored crystals. They tend to be neutralist or across the board type of crystals, where you can then, you know, how would I put that responsibly? They tend to be dang, I don't even know how I'll put that responsibly. But they basically can be used to address anything. That's what I'll say. Okay. So, you know, you want to just make sure that simple, you know, keep it simple. Keep it simple. The other thing is pay attention to the habits of your crystals. And with habits, I mean, they got their own personalities. So I have people who come to me and they'll say, you know, hey, you know, I love Aventurine, but every time I get one, it's always breaking, or every time I get one, I'm losing it. Well, the reason why is because that crystal's not vibing with you. You know, crystals will break up with you. Crystals will walk up, pack up their shit, and they will leave your life. And I know a lot of you who've worked with crystals have experienced that, where all of a sudden you can't find your favorite crystal. That's happened to me more than numerous occasions. You know, crystals that, and I'm talking crystals that I found out in rare places. A lot of my crystals that I found out in Valley of Fire, you know, while camping in Nevada, have disappeared on me. Made sometimes because they were done with me. You know, they did what they came to do and they dipped. Sometimes because I should have never took them home. You know, I can admit that. So pay attention to that. If you're having adverse reactions or adverse situations with the patterns of a certain crystal, that means that that crystal is not for you. Another tip or you know, kind of basic standard procedure is when it comes to crystals, go by what you're drawn to, not by what's mainstream. So that goes back to what I brought up earlier about using like rose quartz or amethyst or clear quartz, or another one that people do is moldavite, which I'll probably dedicate a whole episode to moldavite, because I'm so over people using this crystal and prescribing it as if like the ultimate high vibing crystal when it's not. I will tell you it's not, and I can break down the scientific reason why moldavite is not. Well, most people who are using moldavite for high vibrational work are combining it with Herkimer diamond, which is the high vibrational crystal. So it's not the moldavite that's doing the work, it's the Herkimer diamond, and I can tell you why. And just a quick breakdown, because Herkimer diamond is an actual crystal with the crystal pattern formation, with symmetry, and moldavite is a tektite, which is a mineral. It's actually technically meteoric glass. If you Google moldavite chemical composition, or just Google moldavite and actually do like the scientific aspect, and you'll find out that you're paying hundreds of dollars for glass. So with that being said, my point, you know, I use that, let me not go on a rant because I almost want to go there. Go by your intuition when it comes to your crystals, not by what's mainstream. Because one, when you go by what's mainstream, you cheat yourself out of connecting with things that are really, really for you and that really work for you. The other thing too is that mainstream people don't know what they're talking about. So you really kind of want to develop a more intimate relationship with crystals and your crystal work, and go by what is working for you and what's intuitive. That's why I tell people, when they come to me and I'm vending and they say, hey, can you recommend a crystal? I'm like, oh, you know, what do you, you know, for what? They may not have something that they're particularly working on. So I say, okay, which crystal are you drawn to? Which one catches your eye? And they'll tell me. And then always when they do that, that is the crystal that I would have recommended to them. You know, so another thing is, if you have children, I love this. Take them with you to a crystal shop and ask them to pick out a crystal for you. Kids are extremely skilled at intuitively honing in on what type of crystal that you need. Okay. Another crystal basic. Connect with your crystals when you get them. Right. Remember when I said they have their own personalities. They have a consciousness. You know, it's not just so simple to just get a crystal and just, you know, throw it on your nightstand, on your altar without really connecting with it. This is really connecting with your tools is the basis of any magical work or spiritual technology. You have to treat everything that you're working with as though it is a animate object, you know. The other reason too is because you want to make sure that you're integrating the vibrations of the crystal. So when you get that crystal, you know, really just like spend time with it, you know, connect with it, meditate with it, you know, keep it with you, you know, keep it in your purse, your bra, your sock, your back pocket, you know, whatever the case may be, talk to it, you know, you're not crazy for talking to your crystals. I talk to my crystals all the time, you know, but that's kind of, you know, the kind of energy you want to have with it, you know, as far as working with your crystals. Another thing is set your intention for your crystals. You know, crystals are very adaptable. They're very malleable to our goals or aspirations or intentions or our visions. So they work best when they are focused, when you give them a task, right? It's like, you know, having children and, you know, when children are kind of left on their own, they're kind of wild and they just whatever. But when you give them tasks, give them things to do, give them structure, they operate better. Crystals work the same way. So, for example, yes, you can get a clear quartz and it'll activate your third eye and your crown. It'll enhance your psychic abilities. And yeah, it will do that naturally because that's its nature. But it would do that even better if you said, I want to remember my dreams. Or you tell that clear quartz, I want to communicate with my ancestors. Or you tell that clear quartz, you know, I want my veil to be open. I want to receive messages when I do. I want to improve my tarot readings when I pull tarot cards, whatever the case may be. Then that clear quartz has a strong instruction on what you specifically wanted to do. So set your intention. My ladies, my sisters, this one's for you. This other tip, please be careful with yoni eggs. Please. For those who've been following me for a while, you know, there's a whole thing about that. I had to, speak up on some things on social media about 3 years ago, 2-3 years ago, in regards to certain yoni egg, very popular yoni egg distributors. As a result, I have a video on YouTube. So if you want a specific, you know, details as to why, or in-depth details as to why I say be careful with yoni eggs, go to Therapeutic Vibrations on YouTube. And there is a two-part video called The Truth About Yoni Eggs. Or something to that. It's been so long since I posted that. It's my only yoni egg videos. So you'll be able to find them. But just for reference sake here, summarizing, the reason why you want to be careful with yoni eggs is for two reasons. One, there's certain yoni eggs that have a chemical composition that cause cervical cancer, reproductive cancers. So you want to be careful with those. It's specifically crystals that have aluminum in their chemical composition. It's similar to talc. You know, when people use baby powder, baby powder is made from talc. Talc is an actual mineral that's mined. You know, it's actual, that's processed and turned into, you know, Johnson's and Johnson's or whatever kind of baby powders. But talc, certain strains of talc have traces of aluminum in them. And that's the reason why baby powder has been caused, you know, seen to cause cancer. Crystals work this. There's some yoni egg crystals that are made shaped into yoni eggs that have that same characteristic. So you want to really be careful. You know, whenever you're looking at yoni eggs and you see one that you're interested in. If you're not sure, Google, you know, the chemical composition of whatever that yoni egg is made of, and see if you see aluminum in that chemical composition. If you do, leave it alone. The second reason why is because certain crystals do not have the hardness necessary they don't have the required hardness to maintain the yoni egg safely. What I mean by that is that this is the nerd part, right? So crystals are classified by hardness on a MOHS scale, right? MOHS. And, you know, with one being the softest, which talc would actually fall on that side, and then 10 being the hardest, which diamond would fall on that spectrum, side of the spectrum. Certain crystals that are under a certain number on the MOHS scale are porous. They have pores, which means that if they are cut and shaped into certain shapes, they have pores, and the pores is where certain bacteria can get in there and get trapped. So for, you know, those who use yoni eggs, we know that, you know, we insert the yoni eggs in the vagina. And if these yoni eggs are not the right hardness, and they have pores, then there's bacteria that's sitting in there that could actually cause physical harm to your vagina. A tiger's eye is actually one of those. So if you ever have a yoni egg made of tiger's eye, you do not want to use it because it doesn't have the right hardness in it in order to safeguard against those pores. So please, my sisters, be careful with yoni eggs. And I don't know. I kind of, ever since I did my video and whatever, I kind of stayed away from yoni eggs. I only talk about it briefly in my book. But if you guys really want it bad enough, I will do a whole episode on yoni eggs. So, you know, if that's the case, hit me up. Let me know if I get enough votes. I'll suck it up and do another episode. I'll talk about it again. And I was so over yoni eggs because it was such a craze, you know, some years ago. And I just was like, ugh. But if you guys really need the information, for those of you still, you know, those of you who are using yoni eggs, I will do an episode of enough of you. Let me know that you want that. And lastly, my last basic, crystal basic is approach the use holistically. You know, like I said, crystals are not a cure-all. They're not a blanket. They're not an isolated tool that you use. You know, it's part of a whole package when it comes to your healing, and it's holistic. What I also mean by that is you don't want to, you don't want to only focus on one thing when it comes to crystals, because they're so wide in their abilities. So for example, you want to learn, if you're going to learn about crystals, you want to make sure you understand the metaphysical aspects, which is, you know, the spiritual side, which chakras it's good for, what they protect against, the metaphysical aspects of the crystals. But you also want to know the physical, okay? So for example, selenite, metaphysically, I could tell you that it is good for, you know, it's a water element crystal. It connects you with celestial beings. It connects you to moon goddess energy. It enhances your intuition. But physically, I can also tell you that selenite is good for arthritis, bone joint issues, skin disorders, and spinal issues with your back. Okay. I can also, and the other aspect too is scientifically. So you also want to know the metaphysical, physical, and the scientific aspects of your crystals. So in addition to all that, I can also tell you that selenite is a form of gypsum. Okay. And I can also tell you that its hardness is a 3, and that selenite, if you immerse it or you get it wet, it dissolves because it's got salt in its chemical composition. So, you know, not to be facetious with my knowledge, because I'm not trying to come off, you know, arrogantly. But what I'm just making a point, okay? Because when you only address your crystals from one side, you miss other things, you know, the other benefits that you can gain from it. And then it also helps when you're dealing with your friends and family who don't really believe in crystals, you know. So if you know a friend who, you know, is everywhere and kind of could need to, some calming down and, you know, maybe relief of some anxiety, you don't, and you want to give them an amethyst, instead of saying, oh, it'll help with your third eye, you can tell them that it will help you them sleep. And the amethyst also relieves pain. So if you hit them with the physical or like the hard, you know, the more tangible, the less abstract benefits of crystals, people are more likely to receive that from you. You know, this definitely works wonders for those who, you know, could benefit from it, but who are, you know, are on leaning on the spectrum of disbelief. You know, it works for me when people come to me for, you know, for the crystals, and they come to my table at a vending event and they don't know anything about crystals and they're not convinced. But if I tell them that this crystal helps with arthritis and helps them lose weight, then they're all for it. So you want to just be well-versed and you want to be holistic when it comes to your crystal practice. So that is it for this episode. I think that's enough. I hit you with enough crystal information for this episode. This is definitely an introduction. Like I said, I know from the information that I shared, even in this one episode, there's so many different things in this that could be their own topic or episode. There will be no end to talking about crystals, but I just wanted to get you started with this introduction and just these basics when it comes to working with crystals. And, you know, crystals are one of those things that I want everyone to feel empowered to use and incorporate into their healing journey. I find that when people are knowledgeable or they feel like they have information, they're more confident. So I just want you to be more confident with crystals for those who are already using them. And for those who are interested in them, you know, I want to just provide information that may get you going on the journey of crystal medicine and working with crystals. So hopefully you enjoyed this episode. I definitely had fun recording it. As always, I love recording the podcast. I will say, though, if there's anything particular about crystals that you're wanting to know, hit me up and let me know, and I'll make a whole episode for you. You know, I definitely want you guys' input. I want to know what you guys want. I want to know what you want to know. So I can provide that information for you. In the meantime, my book, it is The Complete Guide to Crystal Medicine, the spiritual, metaphysical, and a scientific aspect of crystals. I cover all of that. The book is available on both my website, which I'm going to drop, the link. It'll be in the description. And I will also, it's also available on Amazon if you want the book. But this book is like, it covers everything. I wanted to have a one-stop shop. Excuse me. I wanted to have a one-stop shop when it came to the crystals because I realized that, you know, there's always like, first of all, a lot of the crystal books out there are incomplete. You know, so they'll talk about just one thing and then you have to get a different book to talk about something else. And you have to get a different book to talk about something else. I also noticed that these books weren't holistic. You know, one, it would only be scientific. Another one would only be metaphysical. And there were no books really talking about the actual physical attributes of crystals. The other thing, too, I realized is that there are no books on crystals written by a Black woman. You know, there's only one book written by a Black man, which is Ross Benn, Rock of Ages. And he actually has a couple crystal books. But as far as, you know, like the crystal, you know, community and experts, like there's no books written. There's not enough books written by Blacks on the subject. So that is what my book offers. And it covers crystals and the zodiac. It covers crystals and chakra healing. It covers crystals and psychic development. Like, it's super, super comprehensive. So it is available on my website and on Amazon. And so if you're interested, I hope you cop it. If you do cop it, leave me a review. Let me know what you think, because I'm very, very, very much wanting to get more feedback on the book. Other than that, that's all I got. I really hope that you got a lot out of this episode. I definitely love and appreciate all of you who've been tuning in faithfully, because y'all been faithful, y'all. I love it. It actually is what's been keeping me with these episodes. So with that being said, that's all. I actually am about to switch gears and prepare for a prosperity ritual for the new moon. So that's what I'm about to do. So you guys enjoy this new moon, this Taurus season. Be blessed, and until next time.